So, they got me dreaming of a lighthouse, cemented by innocent prayers, propelled from the lips of a gypsy kiss, cursing concrete thoughts that think they know us best. They don't, can we? Truly no bliss if we never been broken. Broken like luckless limbs on a rootless tree, ravished by ruthless winds. Have you ever wanted your life to end? Is a question that hangs thick, heavy, like the news of your parents passing, stone stirred within the stew of sour syrup, midnight darkness on a moonless night, consumed by strife, be moved by life. Even if you feel like you could die.
This is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. This week's guest is Samuel Hawkins, also known as Snacks. Snacks is a nickname from high school given by a football coach who noticed he had eaten all his snacks at camp on the very first night. The name is stuck. Something else that has hung around with him since his days at Paducah Tillman High School is his love of poetry. And for Snacks, more specifically, spoken word poetry.
From God, this is God's breath. Revitalizing the treble clef next to your heart sheet music. This is a song for the broken, a song for the coping, a song for the hoping, a song for the many oceans of tomorrow's tears.
Snacks first gave poetry a try for the same reason many males try something for the first time, to impress a girl. Snacks explained more about this thought process.
Yeah, I was shy when I was younger, and really poetry just seemed a way to, I guess, express myself with no filter. And it was like the only way I felt like I could be honest to a certain extent without, I don't know, with no fear. That was like the reasoning. But it just happened to be just to talk to a girl.
So the next question is, did it work?
No.
He may not have been successful in getting the girl, but he picked up another love.
And it morphed into something I couldn't even imagine, so I was glad I picked it up. The poetry gave me a way to, a vehicle, in a sense, to where I was able to, use my voice.
So Snacks has discovered this way to use his voice. Then it was a teacher that helped him get to the next level with his work.
And she would give me real feedback and actually listen and acknowledge and just be honest with me.
Some of the feedback she gave him was technical. And she also challenged him not to let his work stay on the surface. He still remembers her encouragements.
You can always go a little bit deeper, a little bit sharper into that, into whatever I'm talking about. Because I think I would kind of dance around it, whatever I was talking about, and wouldn't just be like, be cliche, you know, go for the jugular. That's basically what she was saying. Like, go ahead and say what you're saying, you know, use the poetic tools, but go ahead and tell us what you're feeling.
Then Snacks had another influential adult give him some guidance. He was in NAACP in high school, and they were on a trip to Indianapolis.
And I remember it was Rose Lowry. She was our NAACP director at that time. And everybody else was in the pool, and I was by the pool just writing. And she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just writing. And then she read some, and she was like, this is really good. And she's like, you need to be an AXO. And I was like, act what? And you're like, AXO is a competition through the NAACP. It's an Afro-Cultural Technological Science Olympics. And they had competitions in poetry, oratory, and dramatics, and drawing, and engineering, all type of things. But mainly for me, it was the poetry, dramatics, and oratory speaking. And so I competed on the local and won that one, then went to state, did that one. And then I got to go to nationals, and yeah, those kids were on point. I got to see and just be around kids that were doing it at a high level, so to speak.
Snacks went on to reflect on the first time at the national competition.
Biggest room, biggest everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was just like, I'm not ready for this. Like, it was my first time. And then my sister, she came to watch me. She wasn't even living in Philly or Paducah or anything. She just came up to watch me. And I remember my eyes were, I was like panicking, like, I got to think of an excuse, whether it's diarrhea, I'm sick, something. And I was like, and she just looked at me and was like, just belt it. Just go out there and just whatever. It don't matter. Who cares? you don't know them. They don't know you. And he's like, you know, you didn't come here to impress people. You came here to, if you love doing this, just focus on that. So, yeah, I got up there, and I remember I just, boom, just went for it. Just came with it. And, yeah, people enjoyed it. And as I got into it, I enjoyed it. And then that's when I realized that, you know, even when you're competing, like, nobody's rooting for you to fail. You know, everybody wants everybody to do well, honestly. So if you're prepared, then it's nothing to really be afraid of. So everything after that was just, like, bliss. It was just like, let's do this. After that, that's when I really dug in and got deep into, you know, the writing and whatnot. So
he kept up the hard work and made it back to Nationals the second year. And this time around?
I was ready for the second year. Okay. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I knew what, you know, because they got the judges. I mean, they had, celebrity judges to a certain extent. Like, people in the disciplines that you're competing in. There's people that are in that field. There's people that have done commercials, musicians, poets. It was, like, a real deal. So, you know, I was ready the second year because I knew what they were looking for, because they give you feedback and everything when you do it. So, yeah, the second year I went, it was like, I didn't even have butterflies. I remember I was just like, ready. And I didn't place at, you know, either one as far as like first, second, or third. But as far as feedback, I got like way better feedback the second time. And even from just like random people, just like, hey, that's something you can, you know, continue to do regardless, like, of, you know, that don't matter. Places, you know, that don't matter. It's like, if you got a passion, and I could feel that, and I know people could see that too. It's just that I had a passion for doing it. That's what I continue to do.
His passion includes both performing and writing. Writing comes first in that order, so let's start there. Snacks talked about coming up with poems in two ways. First, act of physically writing.
Just let the hand go. Let, you know, and do the work. Like, you know, practice, you know, as much as you can, especially if you're a writer. Like, we think we got a Mona Lisa every time we pick up the pen. No. Nobody does that. Nobody.
Yeah.
And it's, you can write as much as you want. It could be crap. It could be about nothing. It could just be, I can't think of anything. How dumb am I? Man, I wish I had more confidence. I don't need to be self-doubtful. Man, I wonder if people have doubts like me. You just start going, like, out of nowhere, and it might go to somewhere, it might not.
One trick he's learned to help the poetry go somewhere is list making.
The last one I did was wishes.
Okay.
So what are things you wish to come true? What are things you wish not to come true? I wish I finished what I started. I wish that my granny was still here. I wish that, and then you go from those concepts, those, you know, those, wow, why even write those things? I mean, just from those two things, I can already go into sublines right there.
In addition to regularly practicing and making the list, he also writes without pen and paper. He told me about the first time that he did this.
I was enjoying this sunset. Yeah, I won't even forget the poem, ever. It's called Freedom. And I remember, like I said, 17, dad's porch, and I was just sitting there. And the line was coming in my head, and I was like, I need to go write this down, because it's something. It was, freedom wasn't free, it was a fee. We had to plead to even see a hint of redemption. And I remember I just kept saying it over and over, and I didn't want to go in. Like, I just was like, man, I'm enjoying outside, I just don't want to go in. And I just kept saying it over and over, and freedom wasn't free, it was a fee. We had to plead to even see her. And then eventually I fell asleep, and I was like, oh my gosh. It's like, what was I thinking of the other day? And I remembered it. Like, I was like, freedom wasn't free. It was a fee. I was like, oh my gosh. So I didn't even write. I still didn't write down. It was just, and I just liked the way it sounded. I was having fun saying it. I was like, so whenever I got a chance, and I was by myself, I'd say it, or I'll say it in my head. And then I kept adding to it. I was like, after I had that part down, I was like, freedom wasn't free. It was a fee. We had to plead to even see a hint of redemption. When released, equality wasn't even, when released, equality wasn't even mentioned. 40 acres and a mule still searching for our pension. And I was like, yeah. And I just kept saying that part over and over again. And then eventually I got these. It was like almost chunking. Like, it was just like, work on that section, work on the next section, work on the next section. And it would just stick. Like, because I mean, I would work on it until I was like it was solid. It was something that I liked, and I would just move on to the next section after I finished one. I might work on one part for like a whole day or even 2 days or something like that, but I would just, and then I realized, I mean, I'm over here, I'm not thinking, it's not like I gotta get 20 reps in of this. I'm over here like doing it hundreds of times. So eventually, of course it's gonna stick, because I mean, I'm over obsessing over the lines. So I guess that's kind of how, when I break it down, look back, it was just, it's kind of just an obsession. Like, and then I would just, and then the more I did it, the more comfortable I came, you know, started doing it. And that became the way I would like to do it, honestly. It's just, it's in my head, because it would just force me to practice. And also, I would, this is not a good outlook, it's an excuse, but I was like, hey, if it wasn't good enough, I don't remember it. Not true at all. I've forgotten stuff I didn't need to forget. But, that's how it came about. That's exactly how it came about.
But of course, for snacks and all creative types out there,
sometimes inspiration will just hit. And that just comes from just the muscle memory of you, when you're constantly doing that. It'll just happen naturally. And even Lupe Fiasco says form follows function. So if you just function properly, you know, it'll flow.
Of every inhibition that said you were incapable, you are able to do anything.
I spoke with Snacks about performing live. He presents as someone with natural talent, but he practiced at open mics almost any chance he got as he was honing his craft. He found his voice at a very unsuspecting place. Murray State's Take Back the Night. Take Back the Night is a time to give encouragement to those who have suffered sexual abuse.
And that really, like, broadened my perspective.
At one night in particular, the activities director from his college, Bethel University, who had seen him develop over the years, witnessed him perform a poem he wrote about the evening's focus. Her response to him is one he still remembers today.
And that was, like, way deeper. Like, that meant something to me beyond, you know, just, like, oh, that sounded good. She was like, I really felt that. She was like, I want you to come to my church.
Snacks describes himself as an empathetic person. And embracing this in his art, well, I'll let him tell you what happened.
It made the words that, you know, shine, made even me shine, because it was like, it was something like I was truly feeling and hurting for these people and wanting those stories to be out there, honestly. And I think once I started gearing towards that and gearing towards, you know, speaking up for other people, that's when it really, it took a different turn.
This turn in focus led to receiving a note at Take Back the Night. This short message is one that he will never forget. It read,
last night, I wanted to take my life. I came to this event to be around people, but hearing your words made me want to live. And I'm like, man, it's way deeper than just just even for me just having fun or being therapeutic. It can be someone's lifeblood.
Seeing that his poetry can be inspirational is one reason he decided to have it published. He talked in detail about how he hopes his published works can be helpful for people.
It's really encouraging everybody to tell their story by telling mine. And also just, like, even, yeah, there's a poem called Your Story. You know, your story is a lightning storm when the lamps go blind. Like, you can light up our lives, you know, we can, your truth will free us when you speak it. So it's like encouraging people to speak that pain, speak what they've been through, speak their truth, because it can motivate others. What you think is like the most horrible thing in your life, or not even think, what is, can be salvation for somebody else if you simply, you know, trust and speak it, you know, whether it's creatively or just simply confiding.
I asked Snacks to finish our time together performing one of the poems from his new book. He explained the poem, then sitting at his dining room table, went into full-on performing mode.
The name of this poem is called Something from the Lemonade Stand. I chose this one because, man, we all need that kick in the butt motivation to pursue anything. So, yeah, that's why I chose it. But anyway, it came from a conversation I had with myself in the shower. I was being very self-pity almost. And I was like, what are you talking about? Literally, that was the word. And then from what are you talking about, like, the first phrase came.
Life's about
conflict and confrontation. Now, we all need confidence, but don't let that grow from compliments. Let it grow from hard work and dedication. That's common sense. Hard work and success. Those two go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. What are vowels without consonants? What are oceans without continents? The cover of your book of life can be absolutely beautiful, but what about the contents? Hard work and success. Yes, those two complement, like hot dogs in that yellow condiment, or blue and orange, red and green. Walk what you talk, that's a unicorn rarely seen. Work to the early morn, sleep when you're dead, but always dream, always dream. Martin had a dream, you can have a dream, I got a dream, Kendrick got a dream, but dreaming. It's for nighttime, it's time to grind when that clock strikes dawn. Don't get it twisted like a Jamaican hair salon. Martin was marching like a HBCU halftime homecoming. He was in those streets. Even if you speak for a living, we need more action, baby. Are your conversations constipating? Consisting of not much and constant waiting? I'm done contemplating. I need blood flow when I'm operating. The opposition is a competition. When you mirror look, that's your opposition. Hey, hey. It's only you against you. You should opt to listen. If you truly believe in what you're doing, not even a mountain of mace can blind your vision. Move with divine precision. Negative people in your life, cut them out like long division. No remainders. Strangers don't deserve your anger. I'd rather pursue dreams and get goals like the New York City Rangers or the Pittsburgh Penguins and shine so bright may the angels start singing. When I speak, I hear cathedral bells ringing from the joy I'm bringing. Someone needs it. That's why I speak it. So I could care less if you don't feel it, like you've been sitting on your foot for too long and fell asleep and started tingling. No worries, though. I'm giving out free wake-up calls like I work for the Hilton's front desk. Going for it all the time like a punt less. Yes, even on fourth down, I'm down, touchdown bound. I won't stop even if I hear the whistle sound. And I'm not here to awe or astound. I'm here to write words on your soul so you know you ain't got to be rich to rock a crown. You ain't got to be rich to see success. You ain't got to be rich to know God. And you never needed his, hers, or their permission to be the best. All it takes is grit. That's it. Because this artwork is hard work. What goes around comes around. That's how God works. What you put in is what you're going to get. So don't complain when things remain the same. If you shoot for the stars and miss, blame your aim. Regroup your efforts and recruit the fellas that follow the vibe you're pushing. Keep pushing. No, you have to push like it's been 9 months and a day. How long have your dreams and your goals been in labor? Do the labor before your life tapers. This life is but a vapor. Because life is not about the easy road, nah. It's about conflict and confrontation. We must confront the constraints that constrict our consciousness. It's just you against you. And life will surely hand you lemons. But the question is, what will you do?
This has been Something from Nothing. To see more from Snacks, look him up on social media at SamuelHawkins_Snacks on Instagram. If you're interested in buying his book, I recommend it. You can contact him through that account or Facebook under Samuel Hawkins. For more Something from Nothing guests, look us up on Instagram at Something from Nothing Podcast. T-shirts are now available, and if you don't mind giving a review on iTunes, I'd really appreciate it. This episode has been produced by Taylor Inman and me, your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.